Right now it is time for Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. Main Street Magazine, of course, distributed widely throughout our tri-state region and also available on the web at mainstreetmag.com. And once again, we are joined this morning by Thorin. Thorin, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I sent Thorin a message about 20 minutes ago. I wasn't sure. I know Connecticut schools were opening today, and so I didn't know whether the first day of school was today or tomorrow in New York, and I was going to give her the morning off if things were a little crazy, but New York starts tomorrow, right?
At least our school district.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess we can start off right there, as a matter of fact. You've got a story by everybody over here knows, Ian Stirver, who is Housatonic Valley Regional High School. It's called Border Wars, Reopening Schools in the Tri-State.
Yes, so besides writing for me every month or every other month, Ian is also principal of Housatonic Valley Regional High School, so he has a unique look at or insight into what it's been like to work all summer to try to reopen the schools and the guidelines and everything that falls into, you know, for the schools who are opening, you know, what they've been through to get to this point.
It's interesting because I've spoken with Lisa Carter, the Region 1 superintendent, numerous times, and Ray Castellani from Weebatuck School District numerous times. And the amount of work that teachers, administrators, people involved in the school systems, even parents and community members have put together this. It's a patchwork because, of course, there's so many things that can go right. There's so many things that can go wrong. But the work that they've all put in this summer, on top of preparing for the school year in an academic way, but preparing for the school year during a pandemic, has been nothing short of astounding, as we found out in Region 1, that all the protocols they put in place when a teacher in Cornwall was found to have been infected with the virus, all their protocols worked. And one thing I've learned from both Lisa and Ray, I don't know if it's this way totally in New York, is that they're as prepared as they can be, but anything can happen on any given day, and really, it's a house of cards the way it's set up, because there's just no federal control. Every state, every school district has got to react immediately if something happens in their district.
For sure. And it's, you know, I have a few friends who are teachers and have been trying to, you know, in the organization committees as well, you know, during the summer to try to reopen their schools. And, you know, it's they're very torn and worried, and, you know, they're worried about the kids, you know, for those who aren't going to school and the impact that will have on them. Meanwhile, they're, you know, worried the ones that are going to school about health, you know, conditions for themselves and for the students and for their own kids.
I can just speak from my experiences in school, which were 500 years ago when we used covered wagons, but there were certain subjects I didn't like to take. But I just love, I loved going to school. I loved the interaction and the friendships I made. And I also liked the interactions with teachers. And it was just a different break in a day. And I can understand in today's society, I would probably be willing to bet a lot of money that students want to go back to school. They want to be around their friends. And I know teachers want to teach. This is a very hard time for everybody right now. Everybody.
Everyone involved, yes.
And
it's
tremendously
hard.
I guess I wish politics would stay out of it, but we can't have that because that does seep into it a little bit. But you've got it's a great story by Ian about that he wrote, but a great story about once again schools opening up in our area in this month's edition of Main Street Magazine. I want to move on to the story about locally grown Rhinebeck-based Farm to Tables. It's a pretty interesting, it's an interesting story, an interesting group.
Yeah, when Regina pitched it to me, I hadn't heard about it. And she's like, oh, you need to check them out. And, you know, and so she gave me the skinny on it and I looked into them and obviously gave her the green light for it. But I just thought it was such a brilliant way of trying to bring, you know, both farmers and, you know, farm lovers, if we can call them that, you know, together in a different method. And it seems, you know, we've talked about throughout this COVID stuff that, you know, some businesses have struggled while others have really shown, you know, like the likes of Zoom and others like that. Well, here's some, you know, a local business that has actually done well during this time because of what they had in place. And it's, you know, you're using an app and you're, you know, so during the time when no one was going anywhere, you know, this was came in really handy and it kept, you know, the farmers going and getting people food.
Another story, we're speaking with Thorne from, of course, Main Street Magazine, distributed throughout the area free in various locations and also on the web at mainstreetmag.com. Bill Maher is somebody I watch a lot, and I'm overweight. Even though during this pandemic I've taken the time to take off now 43 pounds.
Good for you.
Well, it was an easy choice. I don't really go out because I'm in the age category. I'm 67. I had bronchitis, so I have scarred lungs as a kid, and I'm overweight. So I go about my normal business day, and I go shopping, but there's not much else I do. So it was pretty easy to put myself on a diet to lose weight. I figured I'd use the pandemic for a good reason. But you've got a story, A Healthy Passion for Food Harmony, and the reason I bring this up is for years, Bill Maher has been saying on Overtime that what this country needs is just people to eat healthy. If people ate healthier, and he's not for banning anything, but he's just thinking if 75% of your diet is healthy and you want to go every once in a while 25% of your diet not healthy, that's fine. But too many people in America have a diet that's just about 100% not healthy.
It's a sad reality, and you know you can really see it in some folks around here. And you know I'm not trying to be discriminatory or anything, but it's as you say, you know, it's if everyone would just eat a little healthier, a little more of the time, you know, there would be so many less, you know, health issues and just things related to that, and you'd feel better too.
Well, it's one of the things we've all learned since COVID-19 that COVID-19 can kill you, but it mostly kills people who have poor immune systems, the elderly who have used up their immunity over the course of 75, 80 years. But also it really takes prey on people that have existing conditions. And whether people want to agree on it or not, those existing conditions most people can get by with for the majority of their life. But when something comes on that attacks your system, it can't. And so eating healthy really always should be. And this is where Mayor Bloomberg gained a lot of friends, even though he was somewhat controversial as a mayor, trying to change the diet of New Yorkers. So this is an important story, I think, that you have that people should look into, because, like I said, I just buy fresh. I eat under 2,000 calories a day. I eat about anywhere from 1,600 to 1,800 calories a day during this. And without doing any exercise or anything, I've managed to lose over 40 pounds. So it just tells you get out what you put into your body.
And yes, you do.
You got a great story on that. Now, it's also nice to see your story because I've been talking with the people from the Hannah Arendt Center in Bard College for a long time and promoting what they do. You have a great story by Mary O'Neill, Challenging Us as Political Beings in the World, from Bard's Hannah Arendt Center.
Yeah, so Mary, you know, said, you know, there's this great center by Bard, and I want to look into it. And I have to admit, I of course know Bard, and I know their performing center and whatnot out there, but I hadn't heard of this one. And so it's an interesting woman, first of all, and that the center is dedicated to her and what they do, you know, taking her message and bringing it to today, you know, the next generation, and also giving that, you know, spreading that through the community. So I, you know, it's for anyone interested, they should take a, you know, read out this one. It's very interesting, and you know, it's a feel good one.
And one final story before we like to single out certain stories on a weekly basis in the magazine and online. There's a story about a farm in Germantown. Of course, we're closely related with the Turkana Farms. They do a show called Agriculture on here. But you introduce everybody else to a different farm, Marsh Meadow Farm.
Yeah, so they are, as you said, in Germantown. And Lindsay, you know, well, originally, let me backtrack. Originally, when we came up with the themes for this year, our September issue is supposed to be our harvest issue. So we, you know, COVID kind of, we nixed that, but we did keep a bunch of the stories. And this was one of them featuring a farm or, you know, something farm related or, you know, promoting our farmers. And we had actually had them a few years back as a business snapshot. And so I was curious to see, you know, more about them and how and when and why they started as they did and what kind of their focus is. And, it, you know, I was happily surprised when, you know, Lindsay sent me the story and to learn more about them and everything that they do and family orientation and their products and their approach to farming.
And we are very lucky around here to have a lot of different farms that service a lot of different ways. And they're smaller than they used to be. We've always been a farming community with large dairy farms. And they're smaller, but you know what? They're filling a void, and they're keeping us all well-fed and healthily fed.
Exactly. No farms, no food.
That's exactly right. Are you working on next month's issue already?
Yeah, we're already working on October, and you know, we're pretty excited about it. And it's our second sort of history issue, and you know, we have a little bit of Halloween themed stuff in there too, one or two stories. And it, you know, it's already shaping up pretty nicely. I'll get most of the stories this week from everyone, and you know, we're hoping to have a you know, another great issue coming out.
Well, that is Main Street Magazine, of course, throughout the tri-state region for free at various locations and also on the web, mainstreetmag.com. Thorin, good luck on your first crazy hazy days going back to school tomorrow, and I will speak to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Thorin Christian, daughter of the Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmagazine.com. On the web, mainstreetmag.com, and right here on Robin Hood Radio with Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio.